We also decided to take a closer look at how a part-time legislature might play out here in Michigan by studying what happens elsewhere in the country. Here to tell us more, Current State's Kevin Lavery. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good.
Well, if governing nearly 10 million people with a legislature that meets for just 2 months sounds impossible, then I would invite you to take a trip down I-75 and spend some time in the Peach State. Georgia is the eighth most populous state in the country, just slightly ahead of us here in Michigan. We're number nine. They have a state legislature that convenes also in January, but it will wrap up business by early April. Lawmakers there meet for just 40 days, but not necessarily consecutively. I spoke with Paul Yates about state politics in Atlanta. He's a contributing reporter for Georgia Public Broadcasting, and I asked him about term limits, which apply to Michigan lawmakers, but not in Georgia.
Well, the argument here is that a lack of term limits helps in that it allows lawmakers to gain experience and knowledge and institutional memory that can benefit the state long term. Of course, there is the danger as to legislators becoming entrenched and being heedless of their constituents. The argument here is that lawmakers who are in place for some time still have to answer to their constituents every few years and thereby are held accountable.
One of the concerns is that part-time legislators would not really have enough time to learn the issues. There's a feeling that lobbyists and other special interest groups could really take advantage of that and coerce them into crafting policies that favor them. Has Georgia had a similar experience, and are there safeguards there against that?
Well, there has been significant concern through the years in this state that lobbyists and others have undue influence on Georgia's part-time legislature. The state legislature here has always been part-time, meeting for 40 days and nights, but they can, of course, stop the clock at any given time. So generally, the session begins in January and goes for roughly a period of 4 months, although that can be less or more depending on the issues. But the concern has been among good government groups of all stripes that the part-time legislature is unduly influenced by lobbyists and others with an agenda. And there has been concern at the same time that money is a factor because these lawmakers here make a small amount, only about $17,000 a year, that they are susceptible to gifts and other influence. The state has moved in recent years to implement new rules and limitations on gifts from lobbyists and disclosure of lobbyist spending. And so the transparency piece is a big part of an effort here to maintain the aura, at least, of open government.
Paul, what happens near the end of your legislative session there in Georgia when the budget bills are coming due? One would think that because of such a shortened session, at least relatively in the eyes of Michiganders here, there probably isn't a lot of room for lawmakers to have their pet projects, to have a lot of pork. They got to be very disciplined.
Exactly, and it's certainly in recent years here, as I'm sure has been the case in Michigan, there's been no room for pork. There has been an era of tight budgets that's descended on this state, certainly, like has not been seen in many, many years. And so that makes it easier on the budget writers and legislative leaders, certainly on the governor in many respects. They can just say no to everyone. This year, for the first time in some time, there is more money to spend. And so as a consequence, there are more people with their hands out, as it were, and that causes some headaches. And the discipline of a 40-day session gives these lawmakers, in terms of leadership positions, the opportunity to say, we're done, this is the way it will be, and we're wrapping this up.
40 days is not a long stretch of time for any profession, let alone lawmakers. And again, for just $17,000 a year, how does Georgia attract new lawmakers, new blood, especially without term limits and attracting skilled lawmakers?
Well, some might say that only the truly dedicated would want to do this, especially for the low pay. And there, of course, there is a negative connotation that goes along with that as well, that the hands come out and this is an opportunity for those who are seeking power and aggrandizement and perhaps a ticket to a better financial future. The opposing view is that with the low pay and part-time mandate, you only attract the truly dedicated, those who really want to be here and make this work.
I imagine that's a good theory. Does that really work in practice, though?
It works in practice on a certain level. There are a number of lawmakers here. Some of them, courtesy of the lack of term limits, have been here for many years, who are known and respected for their knowledge and their selfless efforts on behalf of the state. And of course, there are others that don't bring that to mind.
We talked a bit earlier about the influence of lobbyists, special interest groups. I wonder if we ever see influence from these lawmakers' employers in their regular full-time jobs. Certainly many of them are going to be self-employed, lawyers and farmers, et cetera. But do we ever see the temptation from their businesses, their employers, to influence PETL?
Without question, that's a major concern of government watchdog groups here and, of course, elsewhere. In this state, there has been no restriction on your employment vis-a-vis your work on a given committee. So you'll have a banker on the banks and banking committee, an insurance agent on the insurance committee, and all of the potential for conflict there. The argument is this is all on the table. There is new transparency like never before that spells that out. And if someone goes astray, it will quickly become known. But that remains a source of contention, certainly here in Georgia.
Is there a takeaway here for Michigan lawmakers? Are there lessons to be learned or advice about staying away from the pitfalls?
Well, the system here in Georgia, proponents would argue, has a number of benefits, certainly involving the cost of government and the taxation of citizens in the state and the effect that that has commensurately on attracting new business and development to the state. The Republican leadership here will tell you that the system in place here is fostering growth across the board in new business recruitment and other areas, and they will tell you that the less time lawmakers are here coming up with new laws, the better off constituents are in the state, and the cost of government reflects that. But of course, there are the dangers, as we've discussed, that part-time lawmakers are open to undue influence, including financial influence.
Paul Yates is a contributing reporter for Georgia Public Broadcasting covering the state legislature in Atlanta. Paul, thank you so much for having time for us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Labrie.